Jesus returned, Luke tells us. Jesus returned filled with power of the Spirit of God, returned to Galilee and began to teach in the synagogues. And excitement about him spread all through the countryside. As an aside, do you know where Jesus returned from? You might think his baptism, because we read about that in worship 2 weeks ago, but something happened in between, as Luke tells it. He was led out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We will hear that story in between when we get to the season of Lent. It's no wonder we have trouble keeping the story straight sometimes when the lectionary gives it to us all out of order, but that's a talk for another day. The point is, Luke tells us that at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon him. God's voice speaks, "You are my son, my beloved, in whom I find great joy." And then the Spirit leads Jesus into the desert, where he reflects on his mission, faces temptation to turn away from his calling, to use his power for himself. He faces down the devil again and again until the devil gives up, at least for the time being, Luke says. And then that's where we pick up the story today. Then Jesus returns to Galilee, the region around the Lake of Galilee in which he lived. He returned filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like resisting temptation, facing down the power of rebellion and evil, becoming clear about what he is called to do. It's like that has Jesus charged up. He's full of God's power. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he starts traveling all around the region, it says, teaching, telling people about God's reign, God's coming to bring hope and peace and joy and healing. And Luke says, and people praised him. They were passing the news along from town to town, person to person. He's building up a big buzz. It's the first century version of going viral. Everyone is talking about him. Did you hear about that Jesus? Yes, Jesus from Nazareth. The one that there was all that commotion about when he got baptized. People said they saw God's Spirit and heard a voice. And then he disappeared for 40 days and now he's back. He's been going around talking about God ever since, and people are starting to wonder, could he be the one God promised? That's what's going on. Jesus is filled with power, God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's traveling around the area. He's fired up. People are getting fired up. And then he comes to his hometown, to Nazareth. Now, we're going to hear more about the people in his hometown's reaction next week. Things don't go quite as well as they had been going. If you were to read on, you will see that his hometown people, his neighbors, turn against him, reject him. They actually try to kill him. But more on that next week. Today, the focus of our reading, the focus of this story is Jesus in worship on the Sabbath day and the message which he proclaims. The opening words of Jesus' ministry that are shared with us. Now, when it comes time to read from the Holy Scripture in worship in the synagogue that day, Jesus steps up to read. It's easy to imagine that they asked him to read because of all the excitement about him. All this excitement that he's been creating. So he steps up to the lectern and they hand him the scroll of Isaiah. And he unrolls the scroll and gets to the place where these words are found. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendants, sat down, and everyone waited. Because in their tradition, reading scripture was done standing, but teaching was done seated. He rolled up the scroll, he sat down and said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Do you see? Do you get what's happening? This is dramatic. We've heard this so many times, maybe we miss it. But this is dramatic. Jesus sits down to teach, and he doesn't start explaining what the scripture from Isaiah means. He doesn't explain what Isaiah was saying about himself. No. Jesus himself is taking on the role of the prophet. I think that's why Luke makes the point of telling us Jesus is filled with the power of God's Spirit. Not just God's Spirit was guiding him, or not just God's Spirit was with him. Luke says he is filled, full, infused with God's Spirit, the power of God's Spirit, and he speaks Dabar Adonai. That's Hebrew. It's an important phrase. Throughout the Old Testament, the Bible Jesus read, the Bible that they were reading in synagogue every week, throughout the Old Testament, this phrase appears in the books of the prophets, Dabar Adonai, the word of the Lord. This is what the prophets who spoke to the people's ancestors, the prophets who called them to account when they were unfaithful, the prophets who proclaimed words of comfort and hope when they were afflicted and conquered and downtrodden, the word of the Lord. Again and again you see the prophets say, "Thus says the Lord." When the prophets spoke to the people, to the priests, to the kings, they weren't speaking about God. They weren't speaking about what they thought God would want. The prophets of Israel spoke on behalf of God. They spoke for God. They spoke as God. The word of God. Thus says the Lord. That's what Jesus is doing. This is why Luke says he's filled with the power of the Spirit, so that we will see, so that we will understand that Jesus is speaking for God as a prophet of God today. This scripture is fulfilled. Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah and speaks as a prophet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The word of the Lord. God has sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which refers to the Jubilee year, a year when debts were forgiven, Thus says the Lord. Today, Jesus says, today this prophecy is fulfilled. Debar Adonai, the word of the Lord. This prophetic pronouncement, this word directly from God, the first words that Luke records coming from Jesus' lips is the announcement of what Jesus is about, the announcement of who Jesus is. The one whom God promised to bring salvation. And to be honest, right here in Luke, in this opening statement, this proclamation, this first sermon, this revelation of who Jesus is and what he's about, it's not talking about salvation from hell, salvation when life is over. Jesus is talking about right now, right then, and still today, right now. The very first words of teaching that Luke gives us are these prophetic words. God has sent me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to bring healing to everyone who's broken and sick. God has sent me to bring freedom to everyone who's captive. God has sent me to bring relief to those suffering under debt. The scripture is fulfilled, the word of the Lord. These words set the stage for the whole of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be journeying through these texts for this whole church year. From now until November. These words set the stage for Jesus' work in Luke. Good news for those who are suffering. In any way. Not just good news, it'll all be better later. Good news now. Here and now. This is who Jesus proclaims himself to be. This is who Jesus calls us to be. This is good news for the world. Jesus does not come to declare destruction and punishment and torture. There are verses in Isaiah just beyond the ones he read which proclaim God's vengeance. He didn't read that part. Jesus does not come to create an earthly kingdom, power structures, governments, not even churches does he mention. Jesus, Luke tells us, comes, as he told us, Jesus' mother Mary saying, to scatter the proud, to bring down the mighty from their thrones, so that those who are low, who are struggling, who are broken, may be lifted, so those who are in need may receive good gifts from God. I proclaim good news to the poor and lowly, healing to the sick and broken, freedom to those in bondage, relief to those crushed under unjust powers. This is the good news. Friends, this is so much more exciting to me. I don't know about you, but this calling is so much more meaningful and amazing that we're called to work for justice, for good, for peace, for strength and comfort for those who are suffering, for blessings to people here and now today. So much more meaningful than just to say we're called to tell people they better follow some holy rules if they don't want to be punished later. This is a proclamation of transformation changing the world. I am here, Jesus says, to fulfill God's will. God's will to bless. God's will to lift up. God's will to bring healing and hope and wholeness. God's will to reign in the world here and now, today, with love. This is good news. God is here to lift up God's people. And God is calling us, using us, inviting us, regular, everyday people, to follow Jesus, to do the same, to love our neighbors. May God indeed fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus' Spirit, so that we, as the body of Christ, might do with Jesus what Jesus has proclaimed and promised. Good news, transformation of the world. Amen.